I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
She's being blackmailed, and she wanted us to do a background check on the person that is blackmailing her. I know this happens in real life, but I always say this about blackmail, where it just feels like things that only happen in movies and TV shows and stuff like that.
I know we've talked about that before, but I'm pretty sure we've taken callers who have, like, legitimately been blackmailed. It's a real thing.
My dude getting blackmailed as we speak.
Yeah.
It happens in real life.
Right. So Eileen here is having it happen to her as well, and she wants to sort of stop it while it's happening. Hey, Eileen.
Hi, guys.
Good morning. Okay, so what is this blackmail about?
Okay, so first off, I'm desperate for a way to escape the grasp of this manipulative coworker of mine.
What's going on?
Okay, so this coworker, he has a little bit of dirt on me from our workplace, and he's been blackmailing me to take on the majority of the workload, and I'm tired of it.
All right, well, let's focus on you for a second. What is the dirt that he has on you?
Okay, so let's just say that I may have mistakenly cost the company a significant amount of money.
How much money?
A good amount, but nobody ever was going to find out. And yes, it was my fault, but if the higher-ups did find out, I feel like, of course, I'd lose my job. And, you know, in this economy, I really need it. So I can't afford to lose it.
Okay, a significant amount of money here. Okay, and how are they blackmailing you?
So this coworker is the only one who knows about it. And he keeps giving me his workload, and I've kind of had enough. Like, first of all, my workload is a lot. Then I'm getting double the workload. And then he needs help, or so he says. But I know he's just doing this because he's holding this blackmail over my head.
How did he find out?
He kind of was doing, like, what do you call it? The math, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of realized it and addressed me. And he was like, don't worry, I'm not going to say anything. I was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. I thought that would be the end of it. But then he would be like, hey, can you help me finish this? Can you help me? And now it's just like a regular thing. He's like, oh, can you take on this project, even though it has nothing to do with my job.
So I'm curious, Eileen. So when he's asking, so he's not saying, hey, do this, or I'm going to tell the company what you did. He's just been dumping extra load on you, and you feel like you have to do this stuff because he has this information on you.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, yeah.
So if you just feel like he's holding it over your head, why does this feel like blackmail? Because when I picture blackmail, I picture those scenes in movies where they corner you in a dark alley and they're like, hey, I have all the bank statements and I have the auditors on the phone. So why do you feel like, are you just catastrophizing here?
No, it's like a passive-aggressive blackmailing. because I know he has this information, and I know that he's the kind of person where I don't trust him 100%. And so I feel like he would use this information to blackmail me or tell my boss or, and I know that's why, because he's never asked me to help him with his workload before. This is a new thing, but now it's on a weekly basis and I'm just like swamped and I'm overwhelmed and I can't say no.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Eileen. Have you ever tested this theory that this is what he's doing is blackmail by when he's asking you to do something and you're just like, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm too swamped. And see then if he would be like, well, if you don't do it, then I'm going to tell the company. Then there, I think you have like foolproof evidence that, yeah, he is definitely using you for blackmail and to get, you know, work off of his plate. You ever thought about saying no?
No, because I don't want to take the chance of, and I don't want to risk losing my job, you know?
So you want a safety net, and that's why you came to us to do a background check on this guy, hoping there might be something there. So if he comes to you and says, here's more work, you can go, well, those days are over. Because because I know this about you. Is that what you wanted?
Yes, I want you to use your PI so I can get a little dirt on him.
Okay. So Tommy has a PI, and we asked her to do a background check.
We did, and Eileen, your back's going to feel a lot lighter because we're about to get that monkey off of it.
Oh, really?
Hey. This guy, some of the information that we got, this is some of the best information our PI has ever uncovered. Some of the juiciest. Let's just say his dating past is going to catch up with him.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Eileen, hang out for a couple of seconds, and Tommy will tell you what our PI found, okay?
Will do.
Okay, I bet you're not going anywhere now. Burt Show background check.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. Show.
So our listener Eileen is being blackmailed. She wanted us to do a background check on the person that's doing the blackmailing. We did that, and we got some dirt on this person, and we will share it with Eileen here in just 1 second. But before we get to that, we need a quick update from Kristen on the quote-unquote, finger quote, experiment.
It was research, people.
Uh-huh.
It was an experiment. This time yesterday, I told you about the wreaths that had been sitting in the yard from Christmas, and then I moved them behind the garbage cans, and they had been sitting there for a solid 2 months. This experiment went on from January 16th to March 11th, and I texted my husband. He said, I asked about another man disposing of the wreaths, and he was like, no, I will do it today. This experiment has come to a close.
Oh.
The test
has come to a close.
Uh-huh.
I am happy to report that in the name of science, the wreaths have been disposed of.
Yay!
I pulled into the driveway. Yep. It's the first thing I looked at. There are no wreaths behind the bins. Done.
So all you have to do is publicly humiliate your husband and you will get exactly what you want.
Yeah, he wasn't really happy with me yesterday.
I bet.
Another win for Kristen Klingshern, PhD.
All right, so let's get Eileen back on here. Tommy's got results. Eileen, are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right, so Eileen told us a couple of minutes ago that she made a big old mistake at work, and it's cost the company a lot of money. And a coworker found out about it and hasn't been, like, directly blackmailing her, like, okay, I've got this on you, so long as you do what I tell you to do, then I won't tell the company. But he's been passive aggressive enough over and over and over again that she knows what's going on. So she hits us up. We have a PI that will do the background check, and she's very, very good. And Tommy told you that you're going to feel a little more relief today than you did before you called us.
Yep, we're about to get the monkey off your back. I reached out to our PI. She got to work, and through a thorough search, she came back with some info that I think you're going to be very happy with. While there was no criminal record on this guy, there were disturbing patterns found in his past behavior when it comes to dating. Now, this is a first. She combed through old posts, online reviews, and forums, and discovered multiple women publicly warning others about this man's shady behavior.
Oh, it's like those Facebook groups you talk about, Abby.
The one I got kicked out of.
Yeah. So there, for those that don't know about what these groups are, you want to explain it real quick?
Yeah, there's these Facebook groups that you can join, and they're in different cities. And basically, women will post the guys that they've been dating, and they'll either ask, hey, does anyone have any tea on this guy, like anything I should know about? And women will help out the other women, being like, oh, yeah, like I don't know anything about this guy, I'm sure it's fine. Or be like, oh, no, he gave my girlfriend or he gave my friend an STD, or he is baby mama that he won't tell you about. And it's just a way to information share so you can date safer.
Do dudes have a similar site?
Not that I'm aware of. If there is one, I'm definitely on it.
Yeah, there's a lane for it.
So his reputation was not criminal, but it was definitely less than ideal in the dating world. So this was a first, and I thought this was genius. She did a Google image reverse with the guy's picture and found a post of him with multiple women complaining about going on a date with this guy. And this is what the post said with the photo of the guy. Beware, insert guy's name. I went on one date with this guy's name, and we will not be going on a second one. After he showed up, got wasted, and handsy, and then left me to pay the bill and make sure he got home safe when he was passed out. Has anyone else had any experiences with this guy? There were a couple of comments that stood out. Comment number one. OMG, I literally had the same exact experience with this man, LMAO. But after passing out, he literally had an, in quotes, accident. So count yourself lucky that didn't happen to you.
Oh, my God.
He, like, peed himself?
Either peed or
poo-pooed.
Okay.
That was what I thought was being implied.
Okay.
Because he was passed out. Uh-huh. At first, when I read it, I thought, accident. Oh, no, he drove. But then he was passed out. Mm, so
okay.
Then I thought, you know.
He soiled his pants.
He soiled his pants.
It's such a polite Southern way to say somebody.
Hey, man, you soiled your pants.
The other comment, I think he literally shows up just to get women to pay for his drinks because we went for drinks once and I had to leave him after he spent most of the night projectile puking across the bar.
I can't keep
doing it. Don't recommend.
It's coming out both ends.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Okay, so that's a lot, but is it enough to stop the quote-unquote blackmail?
Yeah, as much as I love the tea, I don't understand how this would hold up against him, like, in a workplace environment. Okay. Like, so what? You threw up at a bar.
Imagine if you printed out this guy's picture in the post and all these comments. I mean, these are just two of the worst, but there were more. What our PI has put together a PDF presentation.
Shut up.
Where I can send this to Eileen. She can print it out, and it can be in everybody's mailbox at work.
So,
would that get him fired?
Anonymously.
We're not looking to get him fired. We're looking to get him to stop trying to get her to do his work.
So I think this has to be done in the same type of passive-aggressive way as he's doing it. Because we don't have, like, definitive. We can't really call it blackmail.
No.
So the last thing you really want to do is tick this guy off so he does tell the company and you lose your job. So how do you do it in a passive-aggressive way?
Well, I guess what you could do, Eileen, is just say, hey, I think I saw you on one of those Are We Dating the Same Guy websites, blah, 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 blah. And he'll be like, oh, really? What was on there? And you just tell him and you just kind of give him that side eye of what you've seen. Be like, oh, yeah, they're saying this about you. And it might be enough for him to shut up knowing that you have all this dirt on him.
And I wouldn't bring it up immediately. You have said, he hasn't come out and said, hey, you stole or you lost the company money, whatever. I need you to do X, Y, Z. He's just been piling more workload on you. So today at work, when he inevitably comes up to you and asks you to do something, just say no. Be like, just say, I can't, I'm swamped. So start saying no. If he then outright says, listen, if you don't start doing this stuff, I'm going to tell the company what you did. Then that's when you pull out the red card out your back pocket. Look at me using my soccer reference. Very, you like that?
Very good.
Pull out the red card out your back pocket and be like, okay, well, if you do that, then I'm going to do this.
Guys, this is so perfect. Can you please email me the posts?
Of course.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to print them out and I'm going to tell him I'm done being your blackmail lackey, okay? And if he doesn't leave me alone, I'm printing this out and I'm putting it in everyone's mailbox
now
at
you're
work,
talking.
Including his boss.
Now you're just
come
playing,
on, Eileen.
You're playing. Come on.
I was going to do it.
Nah.
I was going to do it.
You're too young for that.
That was the goat.
You're too young.
Hey, Mo, it's a song. Come on, Eileen.
Thank you.
That is Mo.
I got it.
You're like, shut up.
Texas Midnight Runners, 1983.
Here is Chrissy, who has some advice for you. Hey, Chrissy, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Great. It's good to talk to you. I think she should make out a list of the top three and then start throwing them out in front of other people as if they happened to her. You know, I had a date last night. You wouldn't believe what this guy did.
Oh,
and then go through and see if it strikes a chord with him. And then a few days later, you know what? I have a friend. Come to find out, she went out with the same guy. And this time, he passed out and peed himself. And then he's going to go, wait a minute.
You women are so good. You're so good.
Well, based off
of being bad.
Based off these posts, he might not remember what he did.
Yeah, right.
I know.
All right, Eileen, you got plenty of ammunition now, so go do with it what you will, okay?
Oh, thank you guys so much. I'm relieved.
All right.
Now I can go back to my normal job.
Which apparently he was also when he was super drunk. He paid his pants.
No, he soiled
himself. He sold himself. All right, Kristen, it is time for Kristen to bring stupid to the Burt Show.
Sometimes it's fun to be stupid. Everybody gets stupid, stupid.
Everybody gets stupid, stupid. Yo, you don't even know what stupid is.
I think Abby brought it.
All stupid up in here.
Before you did a couple of minutes ago.
That was a great reference.
Come on, Eileen. All right, here is your stupid bit for the week. What is going on your tombstone? I know
Pepperoni.
Is that a reference? Tombstone pizza? Frozen pizza?
How do you get the Dexy Midnight Runner?
Right.
Like, but not this one.
Like Giorno? DiGiorno?
Oh, yeah, like it's not delivery. It's DiGiorno?
Yes.
Yeah, same
Tombstone's
thing.
Another one.
Yeah.
What's going on your tombstone?
Listen, I shop at Whole Foods.
So what's going on your death tombstone, not your pizza tombstone?
Got it.
You used to be so cool. Then you joined the show, man.
7 years, my brother. 7 years.
All right, so I got this from Holden Davenport 7 on Instagram. You guys are not choosing what's going on your tombstone. Something else is.
If you died today and your last text message that you sent was on the front of your tombstone, what would the front of your tombstone say?
Oh, everybody grab your phone.
Boy.
This isn't the last text you received. This is the last text you sent out. And this is the phrase, the word, the mess. This is what's going on your tombstone for eternity. And I will gladly kick it off. The last text message I sent was to my husband, and going on my tombstone is, Jimmy had a big poop.
Are you serious? That's on the tombstone.
That is on my tombstone. Jimmy had a big poop. If you're a parent, you know you talk a lot about fecal stuff. I don't know why, but you do. And your kid's bowel movements are very important. So that's what's going on my tombstone.
Mine is kind of anticlimactic. It just says bless.
Bless.
Yeah, Stacy, my ex-wife sent me a picture of me and Hollis when he must have been 3 years old, and I was going through my Justin Bieber hair phase. Mm. So it's the two of us looking very differently than we do now. So I just hit her back and I said, bless.
Bless.
That was it.
That's not too bad.
Not too bad.
All right, mine was actually to Tom yesterday, and it just says, where'd you disappear to?
That would be
which
good.
Which is kind of perfect.
That's fun.
On a tombstone, where'd you disappear to?
I think mine is actually really fitting.
Yeah.
It was a text message of my lady asking me, did my friend do something that she knew I asked my friend to do, and they didn't do it. So I text her, see why I don't ask for S.
That would be good.
That's
mine is actually perfect because I sent a photo to my mom yesterday because I had a mental breakdown and I just texted her, on the bright side, my body looks good.
Works perfect.
I love it.
The Burt Show.
So Katie, our producer here, has been all fired up and all excited, found herself a good woman. So did it go sideways that she made your mom cry?
A little bit.
You think that's going sideways when your girlfriend makes your mom cry?
That's tears of joy.
Oh, yeah. Cool. My baby has finally found somebody great.
Unless it's that.
That would be an insult.
Would it?
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
Finally.
Well, when you put it like that, Mo, maybe I should have been insulted.
Maybe.
The bar has been set so low that thank God she found somebody.
I was just starting to give up.
So, thankfully, my mother actually likes this one. And she enjoys my girlfriend. And over the last couple of months, they've actually formed their own bond.
Can I sidebar here for just one second? Uh-huh. Because there was a while here where we were testing your mom's theory because you believed that when your mom saw a picture of somebody, mm-hmm. she could immediately tell, like, if this was a good person, if this was a person that had a bad aura that you should stay away from. Mm-hmm. So the very first time, and she was right, you said, like, 95% of the time.
Yep, she doesn't miss.
So the first time that you showed her a picture of you guys together, was she thumbs up on it or was she like, no?
She was thumbs up on it. She gave a whole detailed background. And she's like, this is the type of woman she is. Da, 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 da. And at that time, I'm like, Mom, I haven't even told you anything about her. How did you know? So my mom, she was spot on.
She was right again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm excited that they've started to build their own bond. It started where I'll be on the phone and my mom would be like, tell her, hey. And now it's to the point where they have one another's phone number and they'll talk on their own. Like they have their own conversations. So recently when my girlfriend was in town, she and my mom were doing their own thing in the kitchen, having a conversation. And I was just in my room doing my own thing. But I kind of had the door open because I kind of wanted to hear a little bit what they were talking about. Just wanted to eavesdrop. And so my mom is the type of person who jokes a lot. It's sometimes hard to tell when she's actually truly being serious. And so during this conversation, my mother was telling my girlfriend how she felt about her and in general. And she was just like, you know, I'm proud that you're here and my daughter's life, blah, 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 right? And so as she's having this conversation, my girlfriend is thinking it's lighthearted. Like she's like, oh, it's a heart to heart, but you know, it's a funny heart to heart. And so as my mom starts to choke up a little bit, my girlfriend says what I think is the worst thing to say. One of the worst things that you could say to someone who is getting emotional. She goes, are you about to start crying?
No, man. It's just like going, are you soft? Are you going to cry? You're going to cry over this? Oh.
And so I know for me, when I'm getting emotional and someone says that, that's when the waterworks flow. So,
are you guys just the opposite there?
If somebody says, are you about to cry?
Yeah, I suck it up.
Yeah, I ain't crying no
yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have to ask me.
We were so close, and now the faucet is turned the other way.
You ruined it.
No, then I'm going to be like,
yes.
It's like they're giving permission for you to cry.
Yeah, exactly. The floodgates open, and that's what happened. So she says that to my mom, and she's like, she sees it on my mom's face. She's like, oh, she was being serious. My mom runs because the floodgates are opening, and my mom is actually like, I was just so happy. And like, I haven't seen my mom. It's rare that I've seen my mom cry or get emotional. Like, that's just... not the type of household I was raised in.
Right.
Like, as a parent, she's never done that. And so then my girlfriend comes to me. She's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I thought that your mom was joking. And then I asked her, she's about to cry. And now she's crying. What do I do? And I was like, just give her some time. Just give her some time. But I can't believe you made my mom cry. And afterward, my mom came back and was just like, she got herself together. And that's when my girlfriend, like, apologized. She's like, I just didn't know that you were being serious in that moment. My mom was like, yeah, why didn't you think that? She's like, well, you joke all the time. Right. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, put it back on her. Yeah, right. Gaslight her.
That's healthy.
But it's all cool now.
Yeah,
it's
everything's all cool.
All right, Abby, I feel bad for you. Living in a time now where technology has so much to do with relationships, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about ghosting all the time. We're talking about breaking up all the time and the proper way to do it. Do you do it face-to-face? Is texting a breakup? Is that the way to do it? Is that even appropriate? Now there's a next level.
This guy was so pathetic, and she was such a genius for figuring this out. So I'm going to set the scene. There is a woman filming her little sister. And when I say little sister, she looks to be like in her early 20s.
Okay.
And she has come over to her big sister's house. Her big sister is sitting there on the couch with her boyfriend or friend. And she is doing a presentation of the breakup text that her boyfriend has sent her.
Oh, no.
All right. So there she is, little sis, sitting right next to the TV. She has screen shared her computer and the text, like the screen captures, onto the television. So she's doing like this formal presentation of the breakup to her sister and her sister's boyfriend. She even has a pointer as she's pointing to things on the screen, right? And her now ex-boyfriend sent this long, long breakup text, right? But this is coming from SAG Hazard on TikTok. Something was off about this text message from her ex.
What seems off about this paragraph?
Bad dash.
The dash!
So the dash, there was like a writing and then there was a dash and then a completion of the sentence. And they're like, nobody uses a dash when they're typing out a text. And she goes, especially him. And she was like, something was off in her gut about this text message.
Something just seems shady. He's not this well-spoken, you know, like he's not even vulnerable. So since when do you speak like this?
So he's never texted anything like this before. And she called her sister and read the text. And then it really started sinking in. She's like, hold up a second. No way. No way that he wrote this. Somebody else did.
Let me just plug it into an AI detector. Let me just see. He would never do me like that. But let me just see. So exhibit A. Your text is 100% AI GPT.
Oh, my God.
So there are websites now that you can enter the info in, and it'll tell you the likelihood of this being generated by AI. She uses that site, and it says 100%.
Oh, my God. So he chat GPT'd his breakup text to her.
That's so messed up. I dated the man, not the chat GPT bot.
Well, now it goes next level. She takes a screenshot of the proof that this text message was 100% AI GPT, and she sends it to him, and she's like, really, dude? Like, really? You thought that? And he goes, what's wrong with that? He actually texted back, what's wrong with that?
She said he wasn't very well spoken. That was pretty a dumb thing to say.
This might be the difference between men and women, but if I were in this situation, I think I would be more offended at the text message than the GPT part.
What do you mean?
Like, it wouldn't, I just would have been more offended at being broken up with by text.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
than
yeah.
The fact that you actually, like, I wouldn't have cared about
that
part.
I don't know what the history is here. I don't know. Did they say how long they had been going out? Because
no.
At some point, you can't do that. You got to do it face to face. You got to man up.
Yeah, yes. This is right? Just a viral video on Instagram. But no, I think it's layered here. Yeah, it's rude to break up via text. But dude, to have ChatGPT break up for you and write the verbiage. So sad.
Is this slightly better or worse than just being ghosted?
Well, if you're my I'm just so exasperated. The thing is, if you're my boyfriend, I deserve at least a phone call. So if I'm getting a text, that is better than getting ghosted. But if we've been on like two dates, whatever, just ghost my ass. I don't care.
God, the bar is set so low for dudes now.
Very low.
So low.
Very low.
All right, a reminder. Today is the day we give you guys $1,000 so many times a day on Q99.7. But you got to sign up for the cash and tell us when you are listening so we can call your name at that time. Do it. It only takes 60 seconds. Sign up today right now at Q99.7Atlanta.com.
The Bird Show.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
This Wendy Williams story just keeps getting worse and worse because now the living facility that she's in is filing a police report against Wendy Williams' niece. So according to TMZ, Wendy Williams' niece, Alex Finney, the police report is saying that she unlawfully took Wendy out for dinner without proper authorization. So apparently, according to this living facility, anytime one of the patients has to leave the facility, not only do they have to be escorted out of the unit with assistance, they have to have somebody in the elevator with them. They have to have somebody in the lobby with them, walking them out the door. The entire thing feels very controlling. But TMZ is saying that Wendy had all of that when she left the facility, that she had somebody in the lobby with her, that she had someone that assisted them into the Uber. But for some reason, this living facility is filing this report saying that none of that happened, and basically trying to hold this niece accountable, which makes the whole thing look very shady. Like, if she had somebody assisting her into the Uber, she obviously did things by the book. So why are they trying to go to the authorities over this?
Yeah, so I don't begrudge a living facility for having very strict protocol, especially if it's a memory facility, because you're like, while you're on property, you're held liable for that patient. So to have to sign them out, have to get into the elevator, I get all of that. It's just weird that they're saying we did have that and the facility is saying no, you didn't. So it's like, all right, I'm sure there's cameras all over this facility. Like, this should be easy to prove or disprove if they had somebody escort them out of the facility.
Exactly. And so you allegedly would have all of this proof. So why are you going to say that basically this niece is trying to kidnap her when they did everything by the book? They weren't trying to do anything shady. They just went out to dinner. And it's honestly just making this living facility look terrible, because Wendy has gone on the record saying that she feels like a prisoner. She said that she had not seen a medical... she had not been tested medically for aphasia and dementia, these things that they say that she has, since 2023. She's like, get me out of here. I'm very, very capable. So I feel really bad for her. I know her family is trying to get her out of the situation, but this entire thing just gets weirder and weirder every time I see a headline pop up.
Maybe I missed this in the whole entire story, but who submitted her to the facility in the first place? Did she ever reveal that?
Wasn't it her son?
No, so it was her son ended up taking out money that she did not authorize, and that's what triggered an investigation. And at the time, she was struggling with alcohol issues. So I think when they tested her, when they were going through all of the court proceedings, I don't think she was mentally there because of all of the things that she was dealing in terms of alcoholism, but now she's doing fine and I believe she's sober. And she's saying that she's not suffering from these things that the court said that she is. She has her memory. She's very capable of forming her own thoughts, and that's why she wants to get out now.
Because she has a conservator who oversees her, and I would assume the conservator is the person that admitted her to this facility.
Exactly. So prayers up for Wendy Williams. I'm hoping they can figure out the situation because it is just bizarre.
So the lawyer for her appointed guardian is Sabrina Morrissey. And that's who I would assume is the person that put her in there.
Got it.
All right. Millie Bobby Brown says she would be very quick to shave her head again, just like when she was playing 11 on Stranger Things. Now, for women, hair is very much like a personal thing. Like the thought of shaving my head, honestly, it makes my skin crawl. But Millie Bobby Brown recently went on the Call Her Daddy podcast and was talking about her experience with shaving her head as a kid. And she said that honestly, when she was a younger kid and had to do it for the role, she said it didn't bother her. In fact, she wants to do it again for when she has her first baby. She says hair is such an ordeal anyway to deal with. I'm going to nurture my child, so why deal with my hair? I feel like I'm picturing motherhood as a very big identity shift for women that I'm like, you say that now, but then all of a sudden you become a different person once you bring that baby into the world, and then you look in the mirror and you don't recognize your body, and then you don't recognize your face and your hair. You're going to go through all of that?
But it's such a pain in the ass for women, though, right? I mean, your hair... they're pulling at your hair and you got a million other things to do.
That's why there's a common phrase called the wedding chop and the mommy chop. Like after when you go through these personal transformations and like you go from being single and or just even being from going from who you were to being a wife or going from who you were to being a mom, because of that transformation, you feel like the outside has to match the inside. So my inside is different. Therefore, my outside has to be different as well. So then you end up chopping your hair because that's an easy way to completely alter your appearance. And let's just say I did both and I had immediate regrets.
All of a sudden you wake up with the Kate Gosling haircut and you're like, the cut has chosen me.
Yeah.
All right, a Love is Blind producer is revealing the key to finding successful relationships on the show, and it has everything to do with what they look for in their male cast members. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
If you're in the market for a home, I think in a couple of minutes, I am going to prove to you that you need to shut up when you're in the new home during a showing, that everything that you are saying is being listened to by the owners of that house and by the real estate agents. We'll get into it here in just a second.
I got one question, though. Who wants to be my soulmate?
Hello? Do you want to be my soulmate? Come on, let's go and lift. We have no muscles anymore. We will be sore. It's time to make the shift. You'll be my spotting buddy, and I'll be yours. We'll bench press to the sky. Do you want to be my soulmate? You'll forever be my soulmate.
Let's do this, Kristen.
Okay, hi.
I'm an idiot. I don't care. All right, so
there are parts of my body that
constrict.
That's it.
Yeah.
When that song is being played, and I am getting a workout.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You're doing like your own Kegels.
That's exactly
your
what
own version
it is.
Of Kegels. All right, so here's the deal. I have partnered with Simply Buckhead Magazine and Pinnacle Fitness, and I am currently working out with a trainer at Pinnacle Fitness. His name is Jamie, and he is awesome. I sussed out the gym. I sussed out Jamie, and I basically got this gift of a trainer and a facility and nutrition advice and a body scan analysis and consultations and at-home workouts. Like, all of this sounds glorious for, you know, a working mom or even for a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're a mom, maybe you're not a mom. All I'm saying is, if you're a woman and you have also realized that strength training is incredibly important and you really want to take control of your health, and you want to be stronger so you can live better and live better longer, well, then I want to hook you up with all the same stuff. So you go to theburtshow.com to be my soulmate. We're going to go on this health journey together, just two girlies in their fitness era. And I'm still sore, but whatever. Now, here's the cool thing, though. So I am sticking to this. By sticking to this, I mean I've worked out with Jamie 3 times.
That's good, though. Yep. Give yourself credit here.
Mm-hmm. We're being consistent. So I'm working out with Jamie Monday, Wednesday. Got my hot yoga Tuesday, Thursday. Supposed to do something on my own for my 5th day. But I'm at Pinnacle Fitness yesterday, and I'm working out with Jamie, doing my fitness test to see what level I'm starting out as far as strength. And these two women walk in who are... they're swole mates too. Mm-hmm. They're bench press buddies. They've been working out for years. And this one woman who joined the gym 10 years ago had the most, I thought, inspiring story. So Jamie goes, hey, ask her why, you know, she started the gym 10 years ago. Let her tell you her story. And she goes, so 10 years ago, I got a divorce. And I am by myself, and I'm having to do the yard work by myself, and I couldn't get the leaf blower to start. Mm. And she was having to go next door and ask the neighbor to start her leaf blower. And she couldn't afford to get lawn crew or maintenance, and she just felt really bad that she couldn't do this on her own, and she was constantly going next door to the man who lived next door to start her leaf blower, and she's like, I'm going to do something about it. So she started working out at the gym to get stronger, to get her upper body stronger, because her goal... was to start that leaf blower. So instead of putting money into lawn maintenance, she decided to put the money into herself and building her strength. And she goes, it took me 8 months.
Wow.
But I finally started that leaf blower on my own.
Good. Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God, I love that so much. And so, and she goes, yeah, that was her motivation. And, you know, she was going through that rough patch in the divorce. And she's like, no, I want to get stronger for myself and to do things on my own and not have to rely on a man to do them. So she said, yeah, I joined and I started working on my upper body. And 8 months later, homegirl started up that leaf blower.
So
yeah,
these
girl.
Are the kind of inspiring stories you're looking for to join you, right?
Exactly. So go to theburstshow.com, fill everything out, and then on Monday, I will be announcing who my soulmate is.
So Abby was telling us a couple of days ago that she's been looking at houses, all right? First new house, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying. Never thought I would be here on my own as a lady. This is one of those things that, like, when you're in your early 20s, you're like, I'm just going to rent until I find a man, and then we're going to get together, and then we're going to find a little house, and then we're going to buy the house together, and then you get to the point where you're like, I'm going to die alone, so I need to start building equity. So I decided to kind of take the leap into looking at homes. Shout out to Hannah Wehunt from the Justin Landis Group, who's been helping me out, and it's going.
So I didn't have the time on the air to say this to her the other day, but there has been a rumor about this industry for a very long time that you have to really, really be very careful about what you say while you are in that house. Because now there are mics all over the place, there are cameras all over the place, and I had heard that real estate agents and owners of the homes will listen in real time to what you are saying about their house, knowing going into the negotiation if you love it or hate it or not.
Yeah, and so I've learned that I've made many a mistake, because I'm looking back in all the places I've looked at in the last week. I'm like, oh yeah, there was a Ring camera on that one. There was definitely a Ring camera on that one. And probably a Ring camera on that one.
So real estate agents, is this true or not? 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Good morning, Savannah. You are a real estate agent.
I am.
I have a question for you. I was just talking about this show that I used to watch, The Watcher. I think the very first episode, they show a couple up in the attic. Their house is for sale, right? They're in the attic, and they are spying on the guests that are in their home, checking out the house, listening to the comments they're making, so they know if they can negotiate or not and how they can negotiate.
Is this the show with Ray Romano and Lisa Kudrow? Because I think they do this too, don't they?
That's a different show, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's a different one.
So does that happen?
So I've never had a seller stay in the attic, but be careful with the Ring doorbell systems and the nanny cams and any cameras that you have in a listing, because I will tell you, any of my sellers will hear it. And if they know that that is the agent that's sending an offer and they've talked major crap about the house, your offer ain't going to happen.
Really?
So that is becoming a huge thing. When, if you have something to say about the house, just wait until you're in your car and you can call your agent.
So you will go back and you will listen to the audio? Or are you listening to it live when they show up to the house?
Oh, yeah. Sellers are definitely knowing that they're having a showing, of course. So typically sellers are gone. And of course, when they know that they see a stranger coming to their front door, you know, obviously with their agent, sellers will send me the audio links and be like, listen to what they said about my house, da 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 da. So, yeah, just wait to talk crap about the house if you don't like it until you get in your car. Don't even say anything outside. It has been unreal about the people that have talked so much crap about the house. But that's what you get when you're selling your house. And so people don't like it, they don't like it.
Now, conversely, here's an interesting question then. If Abby is checking out these houses, right, she could use that knowing that you guys are listening also. Like, she could... like pretend that she's not as into the house, but she's on the fence, even though she really loves it.
This house is ugly.
Yeah.
So I always say, if you really like it, also don't say anything, because then they think that, oh, I can get away with this. I'm going to counter back with all the listing price or all the closing costs, XYZ. So it's not only just talking poorly about the house. It's about even the buyers that are like so giddy about the house. Don't say anything. Just don't say anything until you get in the car with me or talk to me, because everybody nowadays has a Ring camera or a camera in their house of some sort. So just don't be happy or sad or mad or anything.
I have no emotions at all.
Indifferent.
All right. This is good advice here. Susan, good morning. You are a real estate agent as well. Do people, owners, spy on those that are walking through their houses during showings?
Yes, they do. I've had several times where I've had open houses, let's say, and I'll come back and the sellers will come back and they'll say, yeah, don't bother giving me feedback. I already know, because they have a camera planted somewhere in the house. And the same thing goes for, you know, I never let anybody stand on the porch near a Ring or a video doorbell, because they're going to hear your plan. So you definitely need to keep quiet until you get back in your car or walk down the driveway.
Because the real estate game is also a leverage game. And if you're sitting there running your gums or yapping your gums, then they're going to know what your plans are and you're screwed.
What she's saying also is it's not just the Ring bell, the Ring cameras, that people are putting cameras inside the house watching you and listening to what you're saying from room to room, Abby.
You got to watch out for those little stuffed animals in the corners with the beady eyes.
No, but people aren't doing it. I would be interested to know who does that specifically for open houses and for selling a house, because I know plenty of people that already have those rooms. If you have kids, more than likely, you already have those cameras in your house regardless. That's so why would you not use the nanny cam to your advantage to see what people are saying about your house?
Sure.
Now, those people that go the extra mile and install the cameras just for open houses and showings, well, you're a different breed.
That's next level.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.